he would say things like, I just don't see how I'm going to get through this. I don't see that there's any way out. He made reference to a person who died by suicide about 10 years earlier. And at that time, he could not understand why this person took their life. And then my dad, in his darkest days, made the comment. He mentioned that man's name and he said, now I know what he was going through.
Welcome to Let's Talk, a podcast about mental health in rural and regional Australia. My name is Kaya Handley. I'm a journalist and have had my own lived experience with mental illness. This episode, we're focusing on rural suicide. For people living in rural and regional Australia, you are at a higher risk of suicide than your friends and family living in the city. You have less access to mental health care, and the stigma around suicide is greater. At the beginning of this episode, you heard from Fiona Livingstone, the project coordinator for Good Space, run by the Centre for Rural and Remote Mental Health, but also someone who has been affected by rural suicide. Here's her story.
Oh, there were so many signs. And at the time, my family and myself, we really thought there were none. We honestly believed that there were no signs. So when I look back with what I know now, there were a lot of changes within him that we were aware of and that we noticed, but we had no idea that could be linked to suicide. So things such as not being able to sleep, so he was lucky if he got a couple of hours sleep a night. He massively lost his appetite and he was normally quite a big party eater. He began to withdraw from his social network. He had a perceived sense that he's a huge meaning and purpose in his life, which was his wealth and everything that he'd built, that was something he was going to lose. And then my dad, in his darkest days, expressed that he felt as though he was burdening all of us. There were certainly a lot of easily noticeable, accessible changes for us to see. But again, we had no idea that there was a link between that and suicide. We experienced very hurtful comments, being extremely isolated from people, and our father subjected to all of these really horrible assumptions about him. One of the things that I experience is that when their, you know, friends or family do come and speak to them, because they're so puzzled about suicide, and it's not their fault for having that question, they tend to ask the bereaved people, like, what happened? Why did they do this? And as a bereaved person, you're asking yourself those same questions. You don't have answers. Whereas if a person dies in a car accident or has a heart attack, they can understand why that caused the death. There's not all of these other questions that you're trying to put on that person. And then also, I haven't met one single person who is bereaved by suicide, but someone really close to them who hasn't had some sort of blame on themselves. Only I did that. I wish I knew that. And so you're really battling with that side of it as well. And then because people around you don't know what to say, and we experience a lot of this, people just abandon you because
it's too hard.
It's too hard. They don't know what to say. So you're left feeling so isolated. You're already feeling a sense of abandonment on some level because this person that you love so much has just taken their life. But then you're constantly abandoned by other people as well. So I think the best advice I could offer, if there's someone who has a friend or family member or work colleague who's bereaved by suicide, is to say to them, I'm so sorry for your loss. I have no idea what to say or what to do, but I'm here for you. Part of the process of grief, of being bereaved by suicide, is talking about it and repeating it a million times. Like, this is the last time I saw him, or they did say that. And just sitting with them and listening while they process those thoughts or talking about memories or even sharing their fears around, oh, I don't know how I'm going to live without this person. So it's just being there for them, showing your support that they're not alone.
These days, Fiona Livingstone is the coordinator for Good Space. It's all about suicide prevention through awareness, courage and empathy. This is what Fiona says we all need to remember if we start feeling suicidal or worried about someone in our lives.
One of the things that stops people from getting help, particularly when they're starting to travel down the more serious end of the spectrum in terms of thoughts of suicide or like a major depression, is that you start to feel like this is unfixable, and it's really important for that person as best they can to remind themselves, or the loved ones to remind themselves, that that is often the depression talking, not reality. What we do know around an illness like depression, it is one of the most treatable illnesses. We also know that in terms of recovery, there is huge amounts of hope. The best point of call is always going to see a general practitioner. We work with the Black Dog Institute to get as many trained GPs in their advanced skills in suicide prevention training, which is a clinical training in the treatment and assessment of suicidal people. And I also want to acknowledge that for people that are feeling this way, it is really difficult to reach out, and unfortunately many people don't do it. The person can muster up the energy and the hope to be able to reach out to their doctor. That is the best place to start.
So the statistics are clear. In every state and territory in Australia, the number of suicides is higher for people who live in rural and remote areas than those that live in the cities, and it's rising more quickly. Professor David Perkins is the director of the Centre for Rural and Remote Mental Health, and he is part of a group of professionals wanting to find out why this is the case. But he says it's not easy.
People who die by suicide is still a very rare event. It's less rare that people harm themselves and, you know, find themselves in hospital, but the number of deaths by suicide is very rare. It's also quite variable, so you may have a number of deaths by suicide in a place and then suddenly there aren't suicides for a number of years. So because it's variable, because it goes up and down, because sometimes they appear to be linked, it's very hard to work out what is happening. And even if you can work out what is happening, trying to prevent it is, again, even more difficult.
The issue of rural suicide was raised at a forum earlier this year held at the Sydney Royal Easter Show. The New South Wales Governor, Major General Hurley, New South Wales Health Minister, Tanya Davies, Minister for Aboriginal Affairs, Sarah Mitchell, and representatives from the Centre for Rural and Remote Mental Health were joined by farmers, people from the mining sector, and of course regional health services to look at what everyone can do to stop the rising number of rural suicides. Professor David Perkins says this collaboration and everyone in our rural communities being involved is the only way to make a difference.
We have a lot of people who are rural advocates, and their purpose was to say to the city people, look, we've got a problem here in rural and remote Australia, and it's a problem that requires attention. So it was about, advocacy. It was about telling people, let's recognise this problem and try to do something about it. A health service can never be connected to everybody in the community who is, having a really rough time. We need people who are living in communities to be able to identify when their family member, their friend, their neighbour is going through a really rough time. It's a bit like first aid. We train people in physical first aid because, the doctor is never going to be there when you have an accident, when you burn yourself with the kettle. What we need is an ordinary person who is alongside, who can do standard helpful things. We really want to try and encourage everybody in the community to be able to say to their friend, their family member, their neighbour, the person at work, look, things appear to be really difficult. Can we get you some help? Can I, accompany you to some help? Can I? So it's not about making everybody an expert on suicide prevention. It's about encouraging people and giving them a few skills and a little bit of knowledge so that when suddenly they realise that something really is not right, they're able to encourage somebody to get some help in a timely fashion.
At the Rural Suicide Forum, one of the people that spoke was Richard Buss, the General Manager of Mental Health and Drug and Alcohol Services with the Northern New South Wales Local Health District. The town of Grafton has had huge problems with suicide. The rate of suicide in this town was 3 times the national average. And these are the key things that Richard Buss learnt as he worked with the community and professionals on this issue.
Get started. Nobody has all the answers and nobody has all the solutions, but we have a town and a community with a ripple effect. It's a small community, everybody knows each other. My mental health staff are affected or the agency staff are affected, and they tend to then really feel the impact as well. Facebook becomes the news, and so it is contagion, but not as we knew it. My second message is work together. Involve as many agencies as you can. We've got about 120 people on a mailing list. We didn't treat anybody any differently. Anybody who wanted to turn up got on a mailing list and got all the information. And find the local community connectors. The community connectors are generally not people with a title like mine. There are other people in the community who connect that community together. And keep a core group of people and meet regularly. Keep working with the family and those affected. Open disclosure and honesty. Don't cut out the people that have had a tragic event happen. Include them and listen to what they have to say. My last message is probably the simplest one, is just stick. Stick and be consistent. You need to stay. You must attend. You must be present. You must not fly in or parachute in education and training that flies out the next day. You are part of that community, and if you're going to set up these committees like Our Healthy Clarence, you need to stick. You need to be there at every meeting.
So as someone working in the field of rural mental health, Professor David Perkins wants just one thing for our future: for all of us to take rural suicide and mental health as seriously as we take our physical health.
I would like us to lose the stigma and, you know, frankly, the ignorance, and to actually be able to say, I know what to do. I'm not a mental health expert, but I know how to help somebody. And that might simply about be saying, I know a phone number where I can get help today, now. It might be about saying, I can get the person to see the GP. We had a lovely story recently of someone who was in a very bad place, and a friend of theirs got someone to see the GP using text messaging. And that person got in to see the GP at the end of the day about, you know, 4:30. The next morning they had seen someone else to help them. And, you know, from being in a very bad place, their friend looked after them, got them some help. And, you know, they were on the way to being in a better place. These are not problems that are solved overnight. But, you know, if we're able to say, are you okay? And if somebody clearly is not okay, we're able to provide them with a bit of help. Then we can make our rural communities better places.
You've been listening to Let's Talk, a podcast about mental health in rural and regional Australia. If you or someone you know needs help, there are so many places you can turn. If you need someone to talk to, you can call the New South Wales Mental Health Line on 1800 011 511 or Lifeline on 13 11 14. You can also access a heap of information on the Centre for Rural and Remote Mental Health's website. That's www.crrmh.com.au.